week on the Koshcast. We're joined by Sonia Misio in a Serie A special as tragedy strikes in Florence, Dybala strikes in Rome, and Dzeko strikes in Naples in a dramatic weekend in Italy. We'll also preview Milan's Europa League clash with Arsenal and ask whether Gattuso will knock Wenger out of the competition, of his job, and, you know, just physically. We'll also round up the latest Premier League action, where a man who regularly displays his genitalia on television declares Chelsea's tactics a crime against football. Salah and Son is not in fact a grocery store, but two of the most informed players in the league, and we'll also go local and discuss Toronto FC's opening weekend and upcoming Champions League tie against Tigres. Don't hit pause. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Rochet is here.
Hello, hello.
Bernie is here.
What up?
Mohamed is not here, but in his place, we have a very able replacement. Sonia Misio, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
If people don't know who you are, which I, you know, that's not possible, but just in case, who are you?
Jesus, we're going deep really quick.
No. Who are you? Who are you?
In relation to football.
I am a freelance writer who's kind of dabbled all over Italian soccer, Swiss soccer, Canadian soccer. I am the co-founder and COO, which I never actually remember what it stands for.
Chief something.
I'm some sort of C-suite. For Unusual Efforts, which is a blog / news source. I don't really know how we classify ourselves. That help women and transgender and non-binary people post soccer articles, and we try to slip them in with different organizations that may be able to benefit from their knowledge, and yeah, we cover games.
Cool.
Sometimes.
And you are an Udinese fan, famously.
I am.
And a Toronto FC fan.
Yep. One by default and one by choice. Stupid mistakes.
which is which?
I think actually TFC by default and Udinese by choice, because no one else in my family other than my father is really an Udinese fan. And TFC, I mean, they just came of age when I started coming of age in my soccer relationship. So they were sort of my default to go to games. And now we can't get rid of each other.
Nice.
Great.
Well, I mean, Bernie literally chose to come to U of T because Toronto had a football team and Vancouver didn't.
So that simple. Literally that simple a decision.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, so why don't we start with Toronto FC? They started their league campaign this weekend with a dismal 2-0 loss to Columbus. Sonia, yeah. You were at the game.
I was, unfortunately.
How dismal was it on a dismal scale of, you know, 1 to...
Dismal.
What's the worst? Dismal. 1 to Montreal Impact.
Ooh.
Shots fired!
It's a bit early for this.
Okay, the first week!
Did Montreal win their first game against Vancouver, too? I don't know, I didn't watch it. I was watching the Raptors.
Let me check.
You know why it was so disappointing? Because Tuesday's game for Champions League was so much better. And I know there's sort of a divided fact about this because a lot of people also found that game boring and slow and TFC wasn't showing up how they were in, you know, last season. But at least in the Champions League game, you could kind of see them going through the motions. You could see, like, the wheels turning. They kind of knew what they were playing. They looked like they were having fun. Like, the guys looked like they were having a laugh on the pitch. Mm. You can see sort of their thought process on things. And then this game, they were slow. They were sluggish. I don't know if it was the 1 p.m. start time. Like, I don't know what it was, but it was not a team that we've been used to seeing. It's not a team that we've been used to seeing, like, 6 years ago. Like, they weren't bad. They were just very lackluster. And I almost wish they were bad because that's almost more...
It's easier to take.
Yeah, exactly.
From the sounds of it, it could be just the high frequency of games to start the season.
For sure. And, yeah, the fact that they maybe want to focus on Champions League. They have another game coming up on Wednesday. It's going to be tough. And so I can't really begrudge them. Well, I can and I will begrudge them
and
for
you
things.
Have.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. What am I talking about? But, yeah, it was a really disappointing game to go and see. And it was also really cold, which didn't help my mood. So there was that as well.
Fair enough.
Well, they did start slow last season as well. I think they had one win, five draws, and a loss.
And that home opener was also very cold, just saying.
Yeah,
I missed the dome openers when it was raining, right?
Yeah,
it was awful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Brutal.
To be fair, the club started slowly, just in general. Mm-hmm. Just the first 10 years of nonsense.
Well, no, the first year was great.
Oh, that's true.
The first year was fantastic.
Because there were no expectations.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think they've set the bar for themselves really, really high. I think you have characters like Vanny and like Michael Bradley who don't really take any shit anymore and like who I don't think are used to the TFC that a lot of TFC fans are used to. That
right.
doesn't really exist anymore. But mm-hmm. because they've set their expectations so high, I think they're going to be beating themselves up a lot more than fans are. Obviously, we have new players coming in on the roster, so it's kind of growing pains and finding spots. And just in general, it was not what I was expecting. I'd rather have seen a complete blowout. Mm. Like, 2-0 is great, but...
I think I'm happy in the sense that the reaction to the game, except for a smattering of people on Twitter, mm-hmm. has not been of, oh, what's going on? You know, this is not the same team. It's people kind of understand it's the first game.
Yeah.
Let it happen. There's a lot of things that could have contributed to this. And I think you'd rather get this loss in now.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
As we're supposed to sleepwalking through the start, winning games, the expectations up, and then you lose, and then things start crashing out. Now they're gonna say, "Hey guys, we actually have to step up,"
mm-hmm.
and that will carry on for the rest of the season. So I think it's okay.
Well, one of the things that I was delighted to see when you talk about like TFC fans showing perspective and sympathy is a lot of the reaction to Vanderbilt's underwhelming debut performance was, "He's just had a baby, guys." Like, he just got to a new country, he's just had a baby,
give him a few weeks. Yeah.
And to be honest, he probably shouldn't have started.
Yeah.
He's probably exhausted.
Or, like, they would compare it to Mavinga, they're like, remember Mavinga started?
Yeah.
No one liked that either.
His first game was horrible.
But I think that's sort of, I guess, the positive spin that you can put on things, is that TFC fans are kind of more self-reflective now. It's not all doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
For most fans, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're only one game into the season, and we advance in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we played Columbus also has a lot to do with the negative feelings. I mean, losing to any other team other than probably Montreal, like, I think that also kind of got a lot of people. But there was a few Columbus fans out there.
There is some history. There's like a trophy between these
two.
The Trillium Cup.
Which
may not exist.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I went to Columbus for the second leg in the playoffs last year now, I guess, even though it was like 4 months ago. And the atmosphere there was incredible. It was a lot of fun. Columbus fans are good rivals. I mean, I would be sad to see Columbus go, but...
They're an original team. And
I hate the idea of
moving an original team to... You know, moving them down south.
Mm-hmm.
But just to talk about TFC, I find it completely disrespectful that the American media acts as if TFC didn't happen, or acts as TFC winning the cup didn't happen.
Did you see Garber's open letter?
Yeah. Firstly, they're not on the any promotional material, which I find unbelievable. I don't care if it's an American market or not. That's the champion. Show some respect.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people that said, oh, this isn't the greatest, last season is not the greatest team of all time.
But it literally is.
Yes.
Like,
it really
on
is.
Paper, you can't, like, it's a fact.
Yeah.
It's not my opinion.
I heard Adrian Healy say, well, you have to give them 2 or 3 years, see if they can do it again.
No,
and
no,
I
you
get
don't.
It. Some people did do it back to back, LA Galaxy, but still, you have never seen those numbers put up. Ever.
Yeah.
And Giovinco, since he came into the league's investor, ever. I don't care what anyone says.
On the
don't
back of
me.
Final
don't any other. Don't any of that.
Hang on.
I don't agree with that. Whatever.
Here you go.
So, let me preface this by, I'm looking very micro here, not macro.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best signing ever for TFC, other than Chad Barrett, is Victor Vázquez.
Okay.
Good shout.
As much as I love that man. I'm not with it. Because the first season, I get it in terms of impact. Because I think without Victor Vázquez, you don't win.
Micro level, not macro.
I agree with you. But I preface my Giovinco statement with his first season in MLS was the greatest season individually ever. The numbers he put up with goals and assists was literally a record. And the goals that he scored, don't forget that Red Bull's goal that he scored, is one of the best MLS goals ever, period. So his impact... And he carried it on for two, at least his third year, right? Or is it, he's already been here 2 years already.
Yeah.
I don't know, even Robbie Keane didn't do this stuff. Like, that's just my fear.
So I'm going to plug myself here for a second.
Please do.
If you were to Google Sonia Missio plus Giovinco, You will find two articles that pop up. It's a part one and part two, and they're both titled "Why Giovinco's the Worst Signing in TFC History."
No,
what?
No, we're ending this podcast.
I'm sorry.
I just the amount of players that come before him on that list is staggering.
Okay, give me two.
João Plata, for a start.
Huh?
Exactly.
Plata was great.
Oh, you mean in terms of being worse?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant in terms of being the best.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Do you remember how many balls he would bring down because we would just long ball it to him? Same with Robbie Earnshaw. Robert Earnshaw. Sorry.
What's his name? Torsten Frings.
Horrendous.
Torsten Frings was great.
No.
Whoa.
He couldn't move.
He was so fat. He was like a little Pokemon.
Okay, hold on. He was the reason for my all-time favorite TFC goal. And I know we've had this talk before.
Yeah.
The corner against Vancouver when Terry Dunfield headed in. Beautiful.
You're telling me you're picking a corner over Giovinco dribbling four players and then finishing it from outside the box?
Yeah, Toronto circa 2012? Yes, 100% that's a better goal.
Well, I think we can take a break and go on to the Premier League.
Let's talk about Tigres first.
Okay. That's how shell-shocked I am.
A little bit more Toronto FC.
Probably should have like rehearsed this ahead of time.
Just sent out a vote to the Twitter.
I didn't know what we were in for.
So we're recording Monday night. Wednesday, Toronto FC have the first leg against Tigres. It's at home. It's at BMO Field. You know, all Mexicans will be cold, jokes aside.
Hmm.
Do they have any chance here? Tigres are unbeaten in seven.
Wait. Oh, do TFC have any chance?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Tigres have no chance. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Yeah. No, do Toronto FC have any chance?
I think they have a chance. I wouldn't put them as favorites. I think it wouldn't be an upset if they won. I think it would be a surprise. I'm not saying that as a TFC fan whatsoever. I'm saying that as a looking at how much they want it and how I think that is their focus. And I think they are going to substitute quite a few things in order to make that their goal, at least for the beginning of this season. The only thing that I'm worried about, not to circle back to this, but Victor Vasquez is having some hip injury. Mm. So I don't know what the squad is going to be like come Wednesday.
I tend to agree. I'll give TFC a bit more chance than the average person, specifically because this team, in my opinion, forget the idea of them being the best statistically. I think the way that they are composed and put together and the system that they play in, they're optimized to play against Mexican teams, like in this CONCACAF Champions League format, the way they move the ball around and they have the solidity and they have quality players who are in their prime with Bradley, Giovinco, Altidore, Van der Veel, like that's a good player. It's not like MLS teams who win MLS Cup and then they look like a shambles when they come to Mexican teams. This team will not be embarrassed. I just don't see that.
I hope not, but you know, after the season opener with Altidore puking, with Van der Veel having a child, and Vasquez out injured. I mean, it does look a little the odds against TFC.
I was going to say, like, the players are in their prime. I'm wondering whether it's come a bit early. So I tweeted John Arnold earlier, and he said he spoke with a radio show in Monterrey, and the host mentioned that they're well aware of the talent that Toronto has, but think Tigres are now clicking, and TFC just starting the year might make the difference.
I don't know. I almost disagree with that because I think the one thing that sets Toronto FC apart from a lot of teams, whether in MLS or someplace else, is that if you remove one piece from Toronto FC, they have to kind of work around them. Like every player that is on that starting lineup and coming off the bench is integral to that team. It's not like your typical MLS that has like their Kaká, they're like one big player. Mm-hmm. Like Michael Bradley is just as important as everybody else. Like, mm-hmm. he's incredibly important. What he does very, very well. But I think that's what's different about this TFC team far more than anything else that I've seen in MLS. They play as a team. And that is the one thing that going against Tigres, I think they have in their favor, that they are solid as a team. No matter who they play, they're going to still play their same game. Obviously, they're going to adjust for the team that they're playing. I'm not
sure.
Trying to say otherwise, but...
I do want to quickly talk about the point, Alex, you brought up, which is that Tigres have hit their form, and TFC are just starting their season. It's a question that's come up multiple times in terms of the CONCACAF Champions League, the timing of it, that it's not favorable to MLS teams,
mm-hmm.
because imagine you're playing, you know, the UEFA Champions League, and you're starting your season, and then you have your first game, but the other team you're playing against has had time to get rid of the kinks in their... in the machine and everything.
Well, I think that happens to Russian teams, doesn't it? Because they have their winter break and then they have to play Champions League
but they're not good anyway.
No, I know, but... anyway, just to conclude, Montreal lost 2-1 to the Vancouver Whitecaps, so there's that.
Oh, there you go.
And from the highlights, it looked like Alphonso Davies absolutely rinsed Raheem Edwards, so... There's that too. I mean, I kind of feel a little happy about that, but also quite sad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You just brought the whole night down. Thanks for that.
Let's bring it up with... Oh, no. Serie A.
Oh, captain, my captain. Why did you not come down to have breakfast with us all? Why did you not pick up your shoes from outside of Marco's room and then drink your orange juice as usual? Now they'll tell us that life goes on, that we must look forward and pick ourselves up. But what will your absence taste like? Who will arrive every morning in the cafeteria, warming up everyone with a smile? Who will ask us about what we did the previous night and have a laugh about it? Who will nurture the youngsters and give a sense of responsibility to the veterans? Who will form the circle to work on our two-touch play? And who will demolish Marco on the PlayStation? With whom will we debate about MasterChef, Florence restaurants, TV series, or games played? Who will I lean on at lunch after a tiring training session? Come on, come back. You still need to finish watching La La Land to analyze like you did with all the new movies. Come back to Florence. They're waiting for you to renew your contract and acknowledge all the good and positivity that you bring to us on a daily basis. Get out of that damn room. We'll be waiting for you tomorrow at training. In life, there are a few people you've known forever but have never bonded with. And then there are the Davides, who warm to you immediately with a simple welcome to Florence, Ricky. Wherever you are now, keep on defending our goal and enlighten the right path for us from the back line. Oh, captain, my captain, forever my captain. So that was Federico Manas, or Manasse? I don't
know. He posted it on Twitter, the Fiorentina player that wrote that about his captain, Riccardo Saponaro, I believe. Quite a tribute.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
He's got a career after football, if he wants it.
Yeah,
writing.
Yeah.
Context, sad passing of Davide Astori.
Yeah.
He was a captain, correct? Captain of Fiorentina.
Yeah, found dead in his hotel room, I guess. He must have been on a away trip.
Yeah, in Udine, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, in Udine. He didn't come down for breakfast, and the reports out of Italy right now is that he suffered cardiac arrest in his sleep.
Is it so? There was no prior illness. It was as sudden as the reports say.
That is, I mean, it's preliminary reports. I don't know if they're doing an investigation further in. Right now, his family in the club has obviously asked for respect during this time. So not a lot of information is coming out. There has been quite a few rumors that have come out. One of the biggest ones being that Fiorentina was going to. So backtrack a little bit. He was supposed to sign a two-year contract with Fiorentina, and he couldn't do it a few days prior because of the weather that they were having in Italy, so he was supposed to do it Monday. Mm. And one of the rumors going around was that Fiorentina had decided just to give his family and his daughter, he has a two-year-old daughter, the contract, like honor the contract. And so that went around the internet, and it was never actually said, so there's a lot of rumors circulating right now.
Right.
So I think the Italian media is just trying to keep everything to control and make sure that, you know, things don't go wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also heard that the coroner's office is opening an inquiry into this before the funeral itself, which is on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the scariest thing about this is that apparently the most recent kind of tests, you know, heart tests and blood work and what have you, were done the previous Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nuts to think how fast these things can happen. And
it just shows you that football is just a game.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, there's life behind it. Fabrice Muamba almost died from, you know, heart attack on the pitch. Just recently was made known that Conte actually fainted in training before the Man City game. So, you know, we banter and everything, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes and our families involved. So it's sad. Serie A paid respects by canceling or postponing rather all the games that had not been played up until the news broke. So there are two games to discuss, and now's a good time to get into those.
Yeah.
Lazio 0, Juventus 1.
So Lazio are pretty much the only team in Serie A that Juventus actually have struggled against recently. And so this was kind of viewed as the chance for someone to stop them winning. And they very nearly did it. But Juventus did a Juventus.
So the context of this game was there was Lazio-Juventus and there was Roma-Napoli mm-hmm. on the same weekend with the chance for, if Juventus lost and Napoli won, Napoli would be clear. But exactly the opposite happened.
Of course.
In the most dramatic fashion possible.
Absolutely.
Good old Italy.
I'm tired. Firstly, are we all for Napoli winning this league? Like, are we all in support of this?
I mean, after Udinese, but yes.
Right.
do Udinese fans feel that way? Is that just like everyone against Juve kind of...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially Udinese fans, we don't really have the same close proximity, but like it's the idea that like there's this other northern Italian team and all their fans are Southerners. And
black
like,
and white stripes.
Exactly. That we had ours first, thank you very much. 1896.
Sorry, you said something that just amazed me. So the idea is that it's another northern team whose fans are all from the south?
Yes.
We're the same people. Man United, all our fans are from London, it's apparently. True. And we're the northern team. I just thought I'd bring it up.
My boyfriend's a Londoner and he's a United fan. And,
it's a thing.
I chirp him every day. But it's the same thing. Like when Juventus plays Udinese in Udine, like there's more Juventus fans. Like it's a heated rivalry from one side, I should say. And the fact that Napoli is just so much more fun to watch. They're Juventus, nice. Like, who cares, honestly?
After six in a row, I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, for the last three seasons, I've consistently said Juventus are going to win next season. And under the radar, Napoli have been playing some good football. Mm-hmm. And this season, they've actually shown capabilities to go all the way.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that they lost this weekend because I really think that this was the pivotal point in a way.
I mean, it looks like it. Basically, Juventus haven't lost in the league in I don't know how long at this point. It's a long time. Since probably the first few weeks of the season, maybe.
Mm.
And it was always going to take one slip-up from Napoli. And their form has been so good coming into this weekend. And it was... So, if you didn't see the Lazio-Juve game, Juventus created nothing. They had zero shots on target until the goal in injury time that Dybala scored.
Miracle goal.
It was a miracle goal.
The turn to get rid of the defender was fantastic.
He's
and
being
then
fouled the whole time.
He's the smallest strength. Guy on the pitch, and he had the strength to stay up because he was falling over and then still managed to lob it over the goalie. Something that was fantastic.
I mean, it's also kind of a personal redemption story for Dybala, who started the season on fire, got dropped out of the team. If you've seen the Juve Netflix documentary, you'll know this. Got dropped out of the team, then got injured. And this was his first start since January, I think, right?
Yeah.
So great for him, incredible for Juventus because they really didn't deserve the victory, and fair play to Lazio for being the only team that can actually put up a fight.
But that said, if I got this right, Lazio did not score over two legs against Milan.
True.
And they didn't score today, and this was probably the top scoring team, if not Napoli, in Serie A.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a problem there, which is going to affect them, I think, their top four chase. They need to get back to scoring goals again.
Fair. I mean, they are, despite the loss, they're still in the top four, but only by a point, and Inter in fifth have a game in hand. So you're right, it could affect them.
Also, just from an Italian point of view, like to me it's incredible that an entire country, save Juventus fans, have put their faith in Lazio. Like, to me, that is just, like, absolutely incredible. I mean, if you want to talk about, like, a country coming together and rallying behind something, it's Lazio. That's, wow.
How about the entire footballing world?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. You sometimes... We have, some Lazio supporters on Twitter that we interact with, and the ones that we've found are fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then, there are ones around those. And occasionally you just see snippets of their conversations. And when the Anne Frank stickers issue came up, and still trying to defend the club and the fans.
You're going to get that with any, not at all an excuse, let me say that first of all, but you're always going to get assholes in clubs.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think obviously with Lazio's history, they kind of have that shadow going in with them. And I don't know how much of this new generation also deserves that sort of overcast that
right.
Mussolini has cast on them, if you will. But I think what I think is the most amazing part about that is I completely lost my train of thought. I was just thinking about how everyone is backing Lazio, and like that has just left me speechless.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, so here's my question for you all, and you can all answer this. But Lazio Juve played first, and then it was Napoli against Roma. If you are Maurizio Sarri, do you tell or do you let your team watch the Juve game, or do you tell them the result?
I mean, they're going to watch it anyway. They're grown men.
No, you can. You have control. You have control over the situation. Actually, the team's in a hotel. You can do what you like.
They have their cell phones. I mean, there's no way to control that.
If I'm sorry, no. Napoli has shit the bed so many times that he should know history and that he should know that that is going to be the biggest mental block for his players. Any other team, you would use it as like, now we have to win, like fight for it because Juventus is coming up on us. But no, not with Napoli. They get spooked very, very easily and they lose it.
I guess knowing that, then the answer could change. But that's what I was going to say is my motivation would be, look what they did. Look what they just did. Now go out there and beat the shit out of these guys. That would have been my mentality going into
but
that.
But the problem is...
That's logical. That's where you get it wrong.
It is logical, but the other thing is that chances are you'll then have to do that every week because Juve win every week and Napoli play later a lot. And
well, he's certainly been doing something every week because they actually have been winning every week themselves. Sure. Until this week. And they were actually up 1-0 in this game as well. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. In the first 5 minutes, it looked... clear sailing for them. Like, I was at the TFC game at the time and I was getting like, you know, my push notifications and I was like, oh, I don't even need to check this anymore, we're done.
So was it really that they were nervous coming out of the box? Because I think they started this game hot, they had it in their hands, and then all of a sudden Dzeko scores this big header, underscores Cengiz under, obviously we like him too, but you know what, we want a Napoli to win this week.
Some of the defending was a disgrace in this game from Napoli. And I don't know. I don't watch enough Serie A. I don't know if it's this whole, oh, we play sexy football and don't know how to defend thing. I don't know. I haven't seen that from them much this season, so I tend to think it's not. But in this game, oh my lord. Like, they couldn't clear the ball. They couldn't get it out. Like, little basic things Napoli were incapable of doing. And I don't. Maybe it's nerves. Maybe it's what it was. So maybe you're right. They shouldn't have watched the tape. I don't know. But it just seems so weird to me.
Historically, this is not unsurprising. It's disappointing. But, I mean, if I were to put money on Napoli screwing up because they needed to win, I would do that. But also, Roma's not a bad team. Like, it's not like they did this against Spal or something like that, right? Like, no offense to Spal or any Spal fans.
I don't think they're taking offense. And I also don't think they're listening, so it's fine.
Fair enough. For Benevento, you know. Yeah. There's great team. A lot of Benevento fans in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised. Right here.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure, you need to join the club. I am. Like, you should absolutely should go down there.
I really should. Right. I love that team.
It's a huge really following. Yeah.
Make a trip out of it.
It's like the St. Pauli of Italy, I guess.
Wow.
But yeah, like...
Good reference, yeah.
Thank you. Roma's not that bad of a team. Like, it's not that surprising. The scoreline, yes, I'm a bit surprised by that. I do not think it would be that much of a game, but...
But also, you're right, the Roma aren't a bad team. We like Roma. People that listen to the pod know that. But they haven't been in good form. I mean, they got battered by Milan last week. I think they lost the week before that as well. They were kind of, you know, bottling the top four race until this week. And it's very typical Roma. The week that you need them to stand down, they get all centurion about everything and just, you know.
You're just repeating the tweet that you said.
Yeah, but I liked it. So.
But yeah, masterclass from Edin Dzeko. Chelsea really wished he joined them. The header, beautiful. Finish, beautiful. I don't want to talk more about this because it's just going to make me sad.
Okay, can we just mention that... In every European country other than England, if you loan a player to another team, they can play against you.
Yes.
Which I think makes sense. You've let them go, right?
Well, you can't do that in England?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have to set the match up.
Terms of the contract, yeah.
In fact, you know what? I don't think it's even a legal thing. It's just the done thing. It's just convention.
Yeah, they put it in every... Well, it's actually written into the contract because someone did it... Well, some team did it, and everyone said that's a great idea.
But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, no, right. It doesn't have to be, though.
But so, Roma in the summer loaned a left back, Mario Rui, to Napoli, which was an odd move anyway, but whatever. And he played in this game. And for the fourth goal that really killed this game off, I can't remember who it is, but I think it's Kolarov crosses it into the box. And Mario Rui, at the back post, back heels it. Straight to the penalty spot where Diego Perotti is waiting to slot it into the corner. It was the most inexplicable piece of defending I've ever seen.
Worst piece of defending, yes, absolutely. You see that happen in Saturday Night Football League in Toronto. But to see it happen in a game when they were 3-1 down, chasing the game, it was, and they went 4-1 down. It was the worst. It was suicidal.
I'm waiting for you to say Calciopoli because you see, you normally would.
I should have said that when Dybala scored, but you know, his goal was good.
No, Italy's fixed. We have VAR now. It's okay. Nothing goes unnoticed.
How does VAR work at Italy? Is it good?
No, it's awful. All right, it's then. So bad. All I mean, right,
you still have to remove the referee for it to be effective.
It's like blatant things are just like, no, we didn't see it, and like it takes so long. It's like, I'm making this fact up, but I'm going to stick with it. It's like 7 minutes to review. Mm-hmm. It is horrible.
That is a very good point you bring up, because Alex was recently watching a football match where VAR was employed and made some shambolic decisions.
Oh, yeah, the Tottenham game.
Tottenham and
that was
Rochdale.
Unbelievable.
I think there's an overreaction in the sense of, I think VAR has been trash in the way it's implemented, but then now you have the people on the other side saying, we don't want VAR. I'm like, no, you have to fix VAR.
Yeah.
Like, because when your team loses a Champions League final or something because the referee made a wrong decision, you're going to be maddened. I'm saying, we wish we had something to help us get these right. Like, implement it correctly. It's not the actual tool that's wrong.
And yeah, exactly. And it's the idea, too, that like referees are still infallible. Like, there are going to be mistakes. There are going to be calls that aren't going to go your way. There are going to be things that are blatant to you that aren't blatant to everyone else. I think VAR or VAR. What is the consensus on this?
Can I bring this to the table? Yeah, I'm with VAR.
VAR?
Like, should we have it?
No.
How you pronounce it?
Oh,
because the important VAR questions here.
VAR.
I could go either way, honestly.
I like VAR.
I'm with VAR.
I honestly hadn't kind of given this any
this
thought.
Keeps me
I just
up
don't
at
care.
Night.
All right, we'll give you 30 more minutes of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm gonna go VAR.
VAR, thank you.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Where are we talking about?
Yeah, I really have no idea.
Let's end Italy.
Wait, we haven't talked about Udinese yet.
Did you play?
No.
How's the season going?
Terribly. So, on a personal note, because that's the only way I can talk about Udinese, is I made a bet with a writing group that I write with, Forza Italian Football, and I said that if Udinese were in a European position, so even just a playoff Europa spot, I would write for them, and Udinese did not do that. So.
Not even close.
No, but they could have been. Like, when Odo first came on the team, they hired him just in the new year, and like, we were winning everything. We were just like on an upstreak, and now we just aren't.
Is there still an award for like fair play that gets you into Europe?
That's a good question.
Like, are you
wasn't that the Intertoto Cup? Wasn't that?
No, well, I mean, it depends also because if whoever wins the Coppa Italia, if they already have a spot, then it moves down. So
and
like,
that's going to be Juve Milan.
Yeah.
Right?
So we may get like the bridesmaid prize. Thanks.
That should be, what would that be in Italian? Do you know?
The bridesmaid prize? That's not a real thing.
No, I know. But like,
if you want to know what a word bridesmaid is.
Yeah, I just feel like it would be, you know, beautiful. Anyway.
Like a bouquet? Like a bouquet being tossed?
That would be good. The trophy is
just
looks like
just
a bouquet. That would be excellent.
There is a fair play award, though, and I only know this because Di Natale has won it before. Also another Udinese shout out there.
Yes.
And I don't know what it's for. Like, I don't know if it's like least amount of cards, even though that kind of seems arbitrary, or if like you do charity work, which does not seem like a thing Italy would give out an award for.
Your club didn't pay a referee.
Maybe. Yes. Maybe. Yeah. We're too cheap to. Thank you, Pazzo.
That's good.
Before we move on from Italian matters altogether, there is the small matter of AC Milan against Arsenal in the Europa League. And
AC Milan going through, sorry.
I think that's fair.
Just gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
Have you, Sonia, have you been impressed and surprised by Gattuso as we have?
Yes. Full disclosure, I'm a big Gattuso fan from his Milan days. Obviously, I'm not a Milan fan, but I've always loved Gattuso. Mm. I refer to my dog as baby Gattuso, despite...
He looks a bit like him.
Right?
Is he a pug?
No, he's an English bulldog.
Bulldog part, yeah.
We should actually get those pictures side by side. It would be good.
Sure. No, I'm a big, big fan of Gattuso, and when he came into Milan, I thought it was going to be another Clarence Seedorf, another Inzaghi, where like they put this talisman up, it's supposed to kind of rally everyone behind them, and then it fails because you're just putting someone into a position. Granted, Gattuso has had coaching experience, not great success with coaching experience, but he's been in the role. He also did that weird player-coach thing in Switzerland, which everyone seems to forget about, slash not know about from the looks of everybody's
face. Like Sion or something?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it wasn't as much of a wild card as I think people thought it really was when he came in, but I think he's either scared the hell out of every single player and has like threatened to murder them in their sleep or something like that, or he's actually a good coach. But as much as I'm very fair weather with Milan, don't hate them, don't love them, I think he's done a fantastic job, and I think he's done the more important task of he's kind of rally people who've not on any sort of bandwagon to kind of become interested in Italian soccer again. Right. So a lot of people who watch the Premier League, they're like, I know this name, I know what's happening. And right. he's kind yeah. of putting a spotlight back on Italian soccer, which I think is very, very neat, because in the last few years, Italian soccer has sucked.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Gattuso is also pretty bad for the last couple of years. And he started slowly with AC Milan this season as well. Something happened over the Christmas break, and I really think that you were right. He did threaten to kill everyone in their families because they've been playing solid as rocks ever since.
They really have. I mean, they've barely conceded a goal. They're unbeaten in 13 games. It's quite remarkable.
So they're solid as rocks. Arsenal are paper thin.
Arsenal are a boat crashing into the rocks.
Yeah.
Just constantly, just over and over.
Oh, I like that. Running Gattuso aground. Gattuso is the siren. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. So let's get predictions. I'm not going to do scores. Who's going to go through? Roche, you already said AC Milan.
AC Milan going through. It's going to be more than a 3-goal difference.
Wow. On aggregate?
Yeah, on aggregate.
Wow.
Easily.
Okay, bet on that. Sonia?
Milan going through, definitely. I do think Arsenal's going to at least get one goal in.
Oof.
Don't know where. Don't know where.
This is harsh.
Could be an own goal. Could be an own goal.
Two harsh predictions.
One goal.
Alex, what do you say?
Because it seems so obvious, I'm now tempted to go with Arsenal.
Alex!
Alex!
No, Milan are going through.
By how many goals? Over, under?
Two.
I think you're all wrong. I don't think Milan are that good.
I don't think they're that good either. I just think Arsenal are that bad.
Yeah. I think Milan, over the years, have actually had moments of periods of good form under Inzaghi at some point, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Seedorf did okay.
Or Seedorf. One of the legends, they did all right, and then, like, another period after where they were complete trash and got sacked. So I think his sacking is coming at some point, and Arsenal will be the start. Arsenal to go through by one goal.
What is this? What am I listening to?
Okay, wait, follow-up question. Mm-hmm. By the second leg, who will be the coach of Arsenal?
I don't know. It's Arsenal.
Clearly
really?
Arsenal.
Really? Oh, yeah. You don't think he's going to be
fired?
If it's
not Wenger, it's the ghost of Wenger. I guarantee you.
100%.
You don't think he's going to be sacked by that point?
We'll get into it. That's a really
He'll
good segue.
He'll be sacked if they lose.
That's a really good segue to the Premier League.
Yep. So we're back on English shores. We haven't been this far in without England for a very long time.
It's true. Are you okay?
I feel a little bit weird, as if there was this beast from the east that came through and just messed me up.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
Wait, should I be offended by that?
No, not you. You're delightful. I'm talking about that storm that came through Pastor England. I can't believe they called a snowstorm the beast from the east.
Yeah, like other storms, like tornadoes get actual names.
Yep.
In English, you're just like, oh, it's a beast, isn't it?
And it was like -2 and everyone was freaking out. Yeah. I don't understand that.
It's a silly country, as we've already covered. It's
then
there are
small hatchbacks.
Wait, Peugeot 206, mate, quality.
A Peugeot? What do you call it?
They're like little lion thingy.
You can almost run into it and it would fall over.
It's that like is true, bug. But no one's running into cars.
Yeah, that's
we
true.
Don't, well, Bentner did a bit. But
so let's go from cars to buses that were parked.
Hey!
Very, I set you up.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
Manchester City 1, Chelsea 0. Jamie Redknapp described this as a crime against football.
He's an idiot, first off. But
yes.
Yes,
for sure. Fine.
This is a statement that was obviously indubitably going to come out after, you know, any team playing against Man City is going to commit a crime against football in that they don't touch the ball and they're just going to sit in their own penalty box and be tip-tapped to death.
Well, yeah, look, there are two ways to play against Manchester City, right? One is you do what Chelsea did, mm-hmm. and you just try and defend, and mm-hmm. you try and get away with it. And the other one is that you go right at them, as Spurs did and lost 4-1, as Arsenal did and lost 3-0 twice, or as Liverpool did and successfully won
4-3. I'm sorry, don't bring up Arsenal in this conversation, because Arsenal did nothing.
No, sure. But as in they didn't, like, park the bus.
Sure.
Right?
Also, United also did that at home to City earlier in the season.
Did what?
And lost.
Did what?
Parked the bus.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say they actually tried to attack us. What world am I living in?
So the only team that has successfully done anything against Manchester City, apart from Wigan, is Liverpool.
Yes.
And they still only just beat them.
And Wigan.
Well, only just beat them because they are Liverpool. In the sense of they went 4-1 up and were about to embarrass them and then decided to revert to Liverpool.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I was trying to be nice this podcast, like, to Liverpool. So let's not go.
We'll do that. But my point is, like, the reaction to Chelsea's performance and their tactics has been so
overblown.
Over the top.
Really?
And so there's that one clip where it's 70 minutes and Chelsea are just sitting in the final third waiting for City to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And Fabregas walks towards David Silva and doesn't challenge him for the ball and Silva just passes it away. And everyone's going, oh, this is a disgrace. It's 70 minutes. You've spent all of those 70 minutes chasing the ball around. You can't get it. You can have a rest for a minute and then go again. Like, it's not...
So, I agree with you with the general concept of it's overblown. But I disagree in that moment where they're passing the ball and you're just looking at them. If you watch Fabregas' face, he almost could just put up a chair and just sit there. Go after it. I don't care what's been happening in 70 minutes. Go after it. And I'll give an example. Manchester United, 1999 Champions League final. Wow. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Why is
Manchester
this happening?
United, hold on, were being brutalized by Bayern Munich. Didn't have a touch. Still ran, won the game. Anything can happen in football. Go for the fucking thing.
So you just made me sure. Mad. But
Bayern, okay, we're not Pep Guardiola's anyway. If Pep Guardiola,
no, my only point is when you're being destroyed, I don't give a shit what happened for 70 minutes. Go after it, fight. You're being paid to play. Don't just stand there and look like a bitch.
Run and try
and get the ball.
Bernie really is mad, eh?
I agree.
No, because it is a disgrace. It's the football.
Oh, now you're on Jamie Redknapp's team.
The lack of effort, not the tactical part of it.
I'd like to say, I kind of agree with Bernie's point, and you can reference a better game. The 3-1 Barcelona beating United in the Champions League final 2011. Pep Guardiola's team played the exact style of football they're playing now at City.
Mm-hmm.
Completely destroyed United, played them off the pitch, but United did chase the ball for 90 minutes, so fair credit to them.
It's true.
And I'm okay with that.
But the other thing is, I don't think it's a lack of effort or application, right? Like, clearly they were sent out there with a plan, and they implemented it. They didn't like the plan. In fact, there are quotes from... Giroud was asked whether they could have been more ambitious, and he said, "It is a good question. The coach made his tactics. We tried to respect it." And then Hazard said, "When the manager plays me up front, I try to give everything. It's difficult to play a good game when you only touch the ball 3 times. If Giroud or Morata had played up front, it would have been easier to play those long balls. With me, it's a little bit more complicated, but I try my best." So clearly, the players weren't necessarily on board with the plan, but it was his plan,
and
they tried to do it.
The tactics are different from the laziness of not chasing the ball.
It's not lazy.
That's a different thing. But on the tactics side, and we had this conversation beforehand, there are a lot of people that are saying, they parked the bus and this is wrong. And I look at it and go, Conte is Italian. Conte played in the era where defending was okay. In fact, it was a good thing. Like, my problem isn't the fact that Conte chose to defend. That's not my problem. It's that he chose to have Eden Hazard up front by himself. That's the problem. But the actual act of defending and having that as a tactic is not wrong. It's just a cultural difference. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I find the English media absolutely disgraceful by blasting him for doing so in that particular match.
Sonia, views as an Italian?
It's the token Italian in the room. There's actually been quite a bit of talk about this, and not to bring it back to what happened in Italy over the weekend, but just as sort of a counterpoint to kind of bring the room down, because there's a lot of shouting going on, that a lot of people pointed out to that with the death of Astori, Conte may just not have been prepared mentally for this game. I mean, they worked together in the Italian national team. It could have been just one of those things where reflectiveness of maybe this game just isn't as important to do that fight and do that win, and let's do the best that we can, regroup. It's only been, 24 hours at that point? And move forward with that. But I do agree that there is a lost art of defending.
Right.
Huge lost art.
And in this game, I don't believe N'Golo Kanté played.
No, I would hope not.
Because of his health issues that he had. And Lord Fabregas did. And Lord knows, if that was N'Golo Kanté instead of Fabregas, he would have run and tried to do something.
Absolutely.
Instead of just waiting there like a little peasant.
I'm not convinced.
I am very convinced.
I'm not convinced, because you have to do it systematically and everyone has to do it. Fabregas runs towards David Silva in that situation. Silva passes it to someone else.
I'm going to start right in between you two guys.
Oh my
just
Lord,
like,
that's
just
a
like Silva passing it in between all the Chelsea players. But I think there's a bit of both. So, Kante playing. Kante is two people in one.
Mm-hmm.
He would have definitely made a big difference, energy-wise. You know,
sure.
He would have at least pushed the pass out wide. They would have hit one, you know, a little too far ahead of someone else. You could pick up the loose ball. Fabregas, he's old. He's just sticking his leg out. He doesn't really have to try anymore. He's played under Pep before. He knows this game. You're just not going to get the ball. He's given up already.
It's one of those things where people say players used to play with more heart and determination. Back in the day, if that happened, they would have... Who was it? De Bruyne and Silva, I think it was? Whoever the two guys were, one of them would have been kicked. And that's a fact. One of them would have been kicked. Especially if it was Roy Keane.
Who says they weren't later? Like...
In that moment, I watched the rest of that game. Chelsea did not try and do anything.
So in the modern era, Fabregas goes up and boots David Silva, gets sent off. How is that useful?
I'm okay with that.
It's not useful.
Boring observation, but I did notice that there were some fouls that Chelsea did not get, which they should have got. You know, players clattering into other players. There were obvious free kicks in retrospect, and I did also notice that happen with perhaps Barcelona.
Anyway.
So, is that an advert for VAR?
Take out the referee. VAR. By all means.
Sorry.
So that's that game gone. Let's move on to Crystal Palace versus Man United, which just ended today.
Bernie, please.
No, please, Roche. After you.
After you, sir.
Oh, okay. Wow. I went through every single emotion in this game. I went from disinterest at first, which is not, I can't even call that an emotion.
At what point did lust come into it?
Matic. Yeah. So I was completely disinterested in this game. And then we went 1-0 down. I got furious. Then we went 2-0 down. And I cried.
Did you really?
Oh, inside. Then 2-1 Lukaku, I felt vindication. Because I love Romelu Lukaku.
No, 2-1 was Smalling.
Never mind. I was
still angry.
Never mind. Still
angry. An emotional roller coaster. You can't keep track.
You know, then Lukaku scored. And then I felt hope and euphoria when David De Gea made another sensational save. I can't. He's the best. I can't get past this. And then, this is 2-2. Matic scored 3-2. And then at that point, I was jubilant.
All right, that was your take of the game. I'll now express mine. I don't think I've told you guys how I felt through this game.
Please tell me how you feel.
Before this happened, I saw the schedule. I saw we were playing away to Crystal Palace on the Monday. And I said, hey, it's an away game. Mourinho, I'm not even going to bother watching. Okay? Now I'm getting the notifications on my phone. Crystal Palace 1-0 up. Like, very soon in the game, actually. It was an early goal by Townsend.
Yep.
And I said, all right, let's go and see what Bernie thinks of this. And then I saw 2-0 up right after halftime. And I just came on the thread and I was like, you know what? Let's cheer for Crystal Palace. I hate the stupid United team and all this rubbish. But immediately after that, Smalling scored. And I thought, hey, it's 2-1 already. Something might be up here. And then it was 2-2. And I said, it's 2-2 now. We're probably going to win this game. And then I saw my phone, 3-2. And I said, you know what? I'm going to watch this entire game when I get home later tonight.
It's a tactical mess. But Alex, please go on.
Yeah, I just thought... United were awful. United were really bad for 70 minutes. And there are a number of reasons. One is, Mourinho doesn't have a plan going forward. He can't orchestrate good attacking football.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was he didn't have attacking fullbacks. I mean, Ashley Young, you know, is a winger, but every time he gets the ball, he has to cut inside.
Mm.
And then on the other side, Valencia, who is getting bigger and bigger every week, by the way. Like, how many empanadas is this guy getting through?
He must have a lifetime deal with some empanada.
It's actually ridiculous. He's a fort. Anyway, attacking, not that productive. And it took Mourinho 70 minutes to bring on Luke Shaw,
mm-hmm.
an attacking left back, and Mata, someone with any creativity whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And after he did that, oh look, they started playing some football and won the game.
They were brilliant after those subs. And Sonia, you're an Udinese fan, as we know. So you probably
know... You said
know.
Brilliant, and then you went into Udinese. So
no.
I'm very suspicious.
Udinese
right
were brilliant some time ago.
2011.
Alexis Sanchez.
Yes.
Still be.
The last time I loved watching Alexis Sanchez.
Yes.
Was when he was at Udinese before he went to Barcelona.
Yes.
The Alexis Sanchez, if you followed him over the last couple of years, some people say he's brilliant, some people say he's not. I thought he was a dynamic right winger at Udinese, could do everything, beat a man, cross the ball, score goals. Have you seen him recently? And what do you think compared to what you probably saw then?
So let me preface this by saying that I live and date with a United fan, so I try my hardest to ignore everything that's happening in the United world. So when Sanchez did sign for them, I kind of had a fleeting interest where I would go into the room if the TV was on. But I think what people didn't realize at the time when Sanchez was with Udinese, and I'm not to take away any credit for him, but he worked really, really well with Di Natale. And Di Natale was there kind of guiding him, knowing when to, you know, slot him the ball. He knew he had the pace that Di Natale didn't have. So it was really two players working as one.
Right.
And Di Natale has done this a lot for a lot of younger players, especially on the national team. He played so well with Balotelli. Mm. And this was at, like, you know, darts and firework Balotelli era.
Balotelli.
I know, what happened to that Balotelli? Going to women's prisons and schools.
Living his best life.
Right?
Yeah.
That was kind of sad, I assume, based on nothing. Anyway. And, like, he was there with him in the Italian national team. And Di Natale has, maybe because he's been around for a while, he was with the same club for a while, that he had this sort of nurturing aspect to it that he could really bring out the best in Sanchez. And I think people put Sanchez on this pedestal that, yes, he had that raw, natural talent to do it, but I don't know if he had the discipline to continue doing it that way.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah, while the talent is there, and I'm not trying to take that away, I think as soon as he left, he was put into the spotlight when he should have played second string to somebody who knew how to handle the spotlight.
Right. I think that's fair, because the one thing we keep mentioning about Alexis Sanchez is he has no discipline.
No.
Positionally, tactically, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, where he's supposed to go, make the right decisions. Maybe at Arsenal, because they said, do whatever you want, we don't care, that works. But at a team with more of a rigid system, I guess, he has to fit in. And from United fans, and probably a boyfriend can tell you this, he's not been looking very good. And that's why I asked you that question, because I loved him at Udinese. And I didn't watch him very much at Barcelona. And this Alexis Sanchez, Arsenal is a different beast, but this United one is just not it for me. This is not it. And today, everyone else stepped up in the second half but him.
Yeah, I just think he's horrendous in possession. And like Arsenal fans will have warned you about that when he made that switch, in that he kind of, he scores and assists enough, or just enough to paper over the cracks in his game. But they are huge. You see him in possession, he's knocking the ball out of touch. He makes the wrong... There was one incident where he got the ball kind of inside left. Ashley Young was in A because of space on the left. Simple ball out to your fullback and you get a crossing opportunity. Mm-hmm. Instead, he turns inside and gives it to Pogba, who's surrounded by three people and gets tackled immediately. It's just incident after incident just like that. And after a while, as good stuff as he does, you just get so frustrated watching him.
Yep, I agree. Let's go Mumu of the Week, and then after that, we'll come back to Arsenal.
Cool.
Happy Mumu. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Awesome. So we got Mumu of the Week again. And a Mumu, if you're unaware, is... Well, firstly, it's Nigerian pidgin English, which is street slang for idiot, fool, moron, someone that we just want to laugh at. Alex, you have the first one?
Yeah, so as I usually do in this segment, I'm just going to read a bit of an article out. But Football Association Chief Martin Glenn, English Football Association Chief Martin Glenn, has apologised, in quotes, for any offence after comparing the Star of David with symbols such as the Nazi swastika. Shall I go? Yeah, I'm going to go on. Glenn was discussing Manchester City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola, who has been wearing a yellow ribbon in support of imprisoned politicians in Catalonia. He said, "We don't want the Jewish Star of David, swastika, or ex-Zimbabwe leader Robert Mugabe on a shirt. Three very comparable things."
That's nothing to do with anything.
he's you know, apologized since, and a number of people have explained to him why he's a fucking moron. But there you go.
Why does Robert Mugabe still get referenced in everything to do with football? It happens so much.
He's finally out of power and we're still bringing him back.
Oh my goodness.
That's good.
So the last move is Arsene Wenger. And I think this is the first time he's made it on. Which, I don't know if that's surprising or not.
Well, because usually it's on the pitch stuff.
Yeah, yeah, right. True. So this is after the Carabao Cup final, actually. So Arsene Wenger said, and I quote, "When you have just the trousers on, it's easy to take them trousers off as well. When you're completely naked, you have to find a shirt and try to put it on again, and then you're dressed normally again." This was the tactical. This is the tactical post-match analysis that he gave. Let me read that last part again.
Yes.
When you are completely naked,
yeah,
you have to find a shirt and try to put it on again, and then you're dressed normally again.
No, no, you need boxers and pants. You can't just put a shirt on without those.
I mean, the imagery alone.
No, I don't want to think about it.
He's remember, French.
Remember the pictures of him on the beach in Rio?
No, how about not?
They weren't that bad.
I don't want to think about
for
it.
For a 70-year-old.
What I'm wondering is, did the broadcaster who asked the question, did they say, how did it feel to be undressed by Man City? And then he went into this. Ooh.
I mean, that would have been a good question.
Yeah, but that's not the right answer. You're really pushing there.
Similar to Cantona's sardines in the sea comment, but that was actually metaphorically accurate.
Yeah.
This is complete bollocks.
Everything's really deep, guys.
Because you need
boxes
to protect your bollocks, right?
I mean, yeah. No wonder Koscielny was crying in the dressing room.
Oh, my Lord. Now let's go to actor talk about Arsenal crying on the bench.
Sure, if we must.
One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
So, Brighton beat Arsenal. Alexander?
Utterly predictable.
Brighton shone brightly over the dull Arsenal.
My dad asked me whether this ruined my weekend. I was like, no. I am so numb to this. It's not even fun. Like, I actually didn't know what time the game was on. And when I woke up, Arsenal were 2-0 down, and I was not surprised.
You actually laughed when they were 2-0 down.
Yep. Yeah, it's just funny at this point.
I was watching with Mohamed and his brother, and when Raheem saw what led up to the second goal, he actually put his hand over his mouth. And I think all life left him at that point. It was the saddest thing. Like, watching fans just numb and sad, it's just... Yeah, it's sad.
And Petr Cech tweeted from the dressing room, like, basically trying to absorb all responsibility.
He was trash.
Horrendous.
Or afterwards.
No, like, right after the game.
Oh, wow.
But while he was in net, it was just like...
It might as well have done. Yes.
By the way, I'm on Twitter.
But props to Chris Hughton, because he's done a fantastic job, and that's gone completely under the radar.
100%. Does it put him in the frame...
For England, yes.
Good, okay. I mean, Pardew's out of the frame now, so... just a quick stat on Glenn Murray. Only Aguero and Salah have scored more goals than him in 2018. That is ridiculous. He's 34. Wow. He's like a championship-level striker at best, and he's tearing it up.
The best league in the world.
I can run as fast as him.
Is
yes, he can.
Is he the English Di Natale?
I don't know.
Let's say yes. Just say
sure.
Yes.
Totally.
That's an insult to Di Natale if I ever heard one.
I'm just
the only thing I can contribute to this match is that I can tell you all that I had my very first pie at a Brighton game.
Hey!
Paul Byrne was with me, actually.
I was about to say, I think he talked to us about the pies at Brighton.
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't know.
Steak and kidney?
Probably. I just asked for a pie with a really big smile on my face, and like the 16-year-old thought I was weird.
Was the first bite horrendously hot? Like,
yes!
Like scalding.
How? Yeah. Like, and it was in like this little paper cup thingy, and I didn't know what to do, and it was pouring out, and I had like a beer in my other hand, and you can't bring the beer into the stadium. What's up with that?
That's just very, very.
And Wayne Shaw had one of those at halftime.
Yeah. No, the whole thing is very tricky. Like, to me, I think you need a fork and you need to stab it a few times.
You have
to
like get the steam out.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just in for a burning.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty medieval English experience.
Wow.
Anyway.
Huddersfield got burnt by Tottenham 2-0. Mm.
They did.
Burnt by the Sun.
Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
I'll take it.
No, Son was excellent. Man of the match. Dele Alli through ball. Son takes around the keeper for 1-0. And then one of the passes of the season, I think, from Harry Kane for the second goal.
Beautiful.
Perfectly weighted on the bounce.
And it wasn't only the hit of the cross. It was the amount of time he waited to play it to allow Son the time to get into position.
Also,
was
the angle he was facing. He was facing
the
corner of the stadium, behind the corner flag.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. And the finish from Son, absolutely terrific.
Yes.
Liverpool can finish.
Hang on.
What?
I have a Pochettino stat.
Oh, okay. Sure.
That was his 100th win in 197 Premier League games.
Is that the fastest, like, someone has reached that?
It's the fastest... It's the first time a non-European manager has done it.
Okay.
And it's not the fastest, but there is only about 4 or 5 guys ahead of him.
Mm.
It's quite impressive.
I'd like to know who they were.
Ranieri, Ferguson, Wenger... In fact, Ferguson might not even be one of them, because it took him a while to get going.
What does non-European mean?
Exactly.
Like outside
like
of
South
Europe.
American or North American.
Ranieri's European.
Who?
Yeah. No, Pochettino is the only...
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was actually confused as well. Me I won't too. Lie to you.
Okay, thank you. Was not just no, Pochettino I mean, is the one Italian you bring up, I'm going to jump in, okay?
Fair enough.
He's not European, but the other four guys ahead of him.
Yes. Gotcha, okay.
It's Benitez, Mourinho, Ranieri, and I think it might be Arsene Wenger.
Sorry, I know I'm going to take us off. Ranieri's Italian.
Yes.
Has he managed Italy before? Like, national team?
No, but he's in the frame this time.
I would love to see that. Just out of curiosity.
I'm not sure it would work.
Yeah, I mean...
No, but it'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Leicester was, like, his swan song, and I think, like, that's where we should...
I would have retired after Leicester if I was him.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it doesn't get any better.
Mm-hmm. That is fair. Sorry, I'll let you move on to Liverpool.
Yes, thank you. Liverpool, 2-0, Newcastle. Anything...
I was expecting more goals in this game from Liverpool, but gritty Newcastle and Benitez in his old stomping ground.
Wow.
Much to the chagrin of the scoreline.
Mane and Salah?
Yeah.
That's what we expected. Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain got another assist for Salah.
Mane.
32 and 38 for Salah.
It's intense. So, Sonia, you'd have seen Salah tearing it up for Roma.
I know who Salah is, thank you.
No, my point is you'd have seen him playing incredibly well for Roma.
Yes.
But would you have predicted this level of meteoric rise?
I think he's... football aside, I think he's a really, really nice story that anyone can kind of go on to. I mean, you saw him getting Egypt through in the World Cup and whatnot. Like, I think he's just such a good... I don't want to say role model, that sounds cheesy, but I think he's just a person, the average layperson who doesn't watch any English soccer and only knows him from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's somebody you can really latch on to, and he's just, like, a likable guy.
Agreed. Yeah. He's smiley.
Yeah.
He carries the weight of a nation on his shoulders.
Yeah. Mohamed said on Twitter he's likable because he doesn't dab.
He certainly doesn't dab.
Yeah.
But what is the Egyptian equivalent of a dab? There must be something.
Kebab?
Wow.
No!
That has to be tweeted.
Sorry, it's just, it was a word association. Mohamed does this all the time, so I'm trying to make sure I'm true to Mohamed on this podcast.
Fair enough.
I think we've reached him.
Yes.
Burnley beat Everton 2-1. This is only relevant because it's their first win since December the 12th.
Burnley?
Yay!
Yeah. We spoke last week about how they hadn't won in 11 games and still maintained their position. Yep. And now they're only 5 points off Arsenal and off a Europa League place.
Now the real question is, will they overtake Arsenal in the league?
They totally
could.
What is
wrong with this league? Like,
it's trash.
let me just put this out there. I've watched a lot of soccer growing up and I just don't understand the English league. I just don't get it.
And that's the fun.
You know what? That is the appropriate description of the Premier League. It's up and down. Helter Skelter, no discipline about it. Just go on, have fun. Don't think too much.
But it doesn't seem like fun, though. That's the thing.
No, it is. But the thing is, this season especially, it's like the top six or seven, and then everyone else could still get relegated. It's amazing.
Yep.
I'd like to blast Everton here.
Please.
I predicted 2-1 for Burnley because Everton are a shit garbage football club right now.
I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah. Cenk Tosun scored his first goal for
Swansea beat West Ham 4-1, and that's only good because we love the manager.
Carlos Carvalho. Yeah.
He's the best. Well, okay, if you're someone that comes up with great analogies, what do we call you? Like an analogist or
is Ray Hudson?
That too. Good shout.
I cannot argue with that.
No, I don't.
Roche hates Ray Hudson.
What?
I used to like him, but he got old, you know? Same old.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Magisterial. That's it.
We'll end in Spain.
Okay.
Really quick, Real Madrid beat Getafe 3-1. Ronaldo, 2 goals. Bale, 1 more. They're not going to do anything.
No, don't care.
Only good thing for Real Madrid, gain this win confidence, and they play PSG fairly soon without Neymar, so they go through probably.
They'll go through,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Valencia beat Betis 2-0. Still kind of irrelevant, but hey, we have Valencia. It's all good.
Great, yep.
Barcelona.
Let's talk about what matters.
Yeah. Okay, let me say this. The title race is over.
Mm.
Barcelona won this game.
It is now.
And I said the title race was over based on the fact that I did not believe Atletico Madrid would beat Barcelona. That was what was missed in the last podcast. I was right. Alex, can you please say I was right?
You were right.
Thank you. Right. However, and that's all. We're ending the podcast right now, guys. It's all gone. Yep, we're good.
1-0, a messy free kick. I mean, they created some more chances, but, you know, it wasn't convincing.
If you want to hear more about that messy free kick, you can always tweet Mohamed.
That's true.
Directly.
That's true.
Okay, wait. He's not here, so as I said, let me do the Mohamed thing. Messi. Oh my God. He's only the best player ever, guys, which is kind of true. But still, what a free kick. A free kick for Messi is just like having a penalty.
He would want you to know that he scored 3 direct free kicks in the last 3 games. So there's that too.
That's actually impressive. That's very Despite impressive. All the nonsense Milan likes to spew, that's impressive.
Sonia, do you have a favorite Spanish team?
No.
No, fair enough. Go do
I. I mean, Paso used to own a Spanish team, Granada, and then he sold it, and... Yep, that's all I got for that.
No, fair enough.
That's all right. Used to have my cousin play for Granada.
Really?
Well,
he was just a distant
cousin of
mine. Like,
this is completely unconfirmed.
What?
This is like
He has my last name. He's from my village. I can't confirm unless we do a DNA test. So he's my cousin. But hey!
I have a very similar story where my whole life I grew up thinking that my grandfather played with Young Boys. The Swiss soccer. Yeah. As soon as I said it.
Yeah, I wish you saw the concern over Shay's face.
Played with a team that is called Young Boys.
Yep.
Turns out not true whatsoever. It was a story that he just lied to me about. and I went to their stadium that used to make matters better and or worse. The Young Boys Stadium, which is now called the Stade de Suisse, used to be called Wankdorf. So
yeah.
What? Wankdorf.
Young Boys at Wankdorf.
Yep.
That's
anyway. Quality.
So much wrong with
so
this.
So I went to Wankdorf because that's what it was at the time.
We have lost Rochet.
And I went through their archives
Wankdorf.
Trying to find my grandfather.
In Wankdorf.
And turns out, not a thing.
Probably a good thing. Probably for the best.
Yeah.
Well, now I just like this random Swiss club from a canton that I'm not even from because based on this lie.
Wankdorf, the fortress.
All right. If people want to hear more stories like this, Sonia, where can they find you on the internet?
You don't want to find me on the internet. You can find me on that article I wrote about Javinko being the worst signing in TFC.
Why are you bringing this up again?
I wrote it twice. Two different... No, I'm on Twitter at Sonia Missio. SONJAMISSIO. I don't know if that's necessary.
Cool.
And nice. What's the website for the...
UnusualEfforts.com. There is fantastic writing not done by me and incredible artwork there. It's I mentioned before that we have female writers and non-binary writers, but it's football in general. Like, it's covering everything. It's really, really good. There are some incredible stories there.
Can confirm. It's brilliant. Rochet?
Yes. Yes.
Where can we find you on the internet?
Everywhere.
On Instagram,
At Rochet R. Because you weren't going to say it,
absolutely.
So I'm going to say it.
You can find me there. You can find me, you know what, you just have to holler.
Okay.
Right there.
Just click the holler button. Bernie, where are you?
Sorry.
That's all right.
At BeatUche21 on everything.
Cool. All right. Now you can find us.
What about you?
At Alex Lucas Nathan. Lucas with a K.
Hey, I was going to get away with that.
I was named after a Hungarian communist poet. So there you go.
But you weren't lied to, though.
Sorry?
You weren't lied to. He was a poet.
As far as I know.
Don't look it up. Whatever you do, do not look it up. It will destroy you.
Never meet your heroes or your grandparents.
Thank you. We'll see them all next quiz night.
Yes, we will see you at the quiz night March 14th. Opera Bob's. Sonia is a regular participant. Even had Stevie Caldwell on her team once. Still didn't win, but...
We came in second. That was better than when we came in last the time before that.
You were on the podium. And
to be fair, Stevie Caldwell did say that Sanchez was a great fit for United.
Did he?
So does that mean that he's
he was wrong.
Not good at what?
Punditry? No, he is. Of course he is.
I mean, yeah, he's great.
Anyway.
Great guy.
We will see you there, Sonia. We will see you there, listener. And if you're listening to us on All In Sports Talk, thank you and let us know. All right. See you next week.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.